Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Was before Arnett, so that was actually Mike Leach that they beat.
That was Mike Leach. Yeah, they beat Mike Leach because we had him on.
Yeah, that's right. The old pirate.
I can tell you what Memphis went on to be. I mean, Memphis went on to be a 6-6 football team that finished 7th in the American, right? And that's with a win, over Mississippi State. I think Mississippi State ended up being like a 7-4. Like
that sounds right.
They were okay.
They were like a bowl barely team.
That's Arkansas, dude. Yeah. That's what Arkansas is. Arkansas is a 7-8 win team at best. And, you know, Memphis has beaten those kinds of SEC teams before, and it's been a great day. It's been a lot of fun. We got a lot of run out of it, but it has amounted ultimately to nothing.
Right.
I mean, the only thing that matters for Memphis, period, point blank, full stop, is do they make the American title game? That's it. And I don't think, on balance, beating Arkansas or losing to Arkansas makes any difference to that path. If Memphis is going to have this amazing season where they don't lose a game or they lose one game, and then at the end of this thing, it's going to be Memphis's resume versus, you know, honestly, if you beat South Florida and then you win the conference, State's already lost South Florida. So who are you even competing against? You know, I mean, it really won't be that controversial. So you don't really even need this win to make the playoff. Good that it's happening. I prefer playing Arkansas to playing certainly Arkansas State.
Right.
Okay.
Which that's you're going to get them.
That's asinine. But
yeah,
I'm also not going to inject any kind of like grand meaning into the outcome, win or lose. If Memphis loses, I expected them to lose. Talon Green is first in the SEC in passing touchdowns. He's fourth in the SEC in passing yards.
Yep.
They are awesome on offense.
Yeah.
They also have so much more money than Memphis. So I expect Memphis to lose. If Memphis wins, man, great day. Awesome day. That'll be a lot of fun for the people that were there. We'll have fun with it during the week in radio. But guess what? It's time to move on to the American now. I mean, it's time to beat South Florida and Tulane. And that is what Ryan Silverfield has shown in terms of when it matters.
Yep.
You can beat Tulane when, you know, you're out of it and Tulane's like barely hanging on to the playoff. And you can beat Tulane when you're a 14-point underdog. And that was a nice win. I'm not trying to take that away from Ryan Silverfield. But what he has never done is he has never won these high-leverage, meaningful AAC games.
Yep.
And that is where my focus is. That is where my energy is. And I that's why this Arkansas game, like, you know, again, fun, whatever, you know, it's a show. Great, but it really doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things, win, lose, or draw.
Well, and it's a little bit of like the Miami-South Florida game last weekend in that way.
Absolutely.
Right? Because for them, that ultimately is a free swing because, you know, they lose that game, but they competed, right, a little bit. It does seem like October 25th now is the most important day for Memphis with that South Florida game.
Well, I mean, there's two. I mean, honestly, every one of these games Tulane, is important because they lost to Navy last year as 9-point favorites.
Yeah, that was brutal.
And they lost to UTSA as 7.5-point favorites.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, man. South Florida kind of did the work for you. They beat Boise.
Right.
They beat them. So they've already kind of taken the advantage and giving it to the American.
Your conference now has the ball.
So because no matter what Boise does the rest of the way, they lost handily to the American.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, as to a representative of the American. And so if you then are able to beat South Florida in the same conference and then beat Tulane in the same conference and then get to the championship game of this conference and God forbid win that game.
Right.
You're going.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the work is already done, right? And, and yes, you're exactly right. For South Florida in that Miami game, they played it. They lost. They got paid. I'm sure a check, a nice check, and it's over. It doesn't, you know. And their fans are not like, man, we just really got handled by Miami. Where is the direction of the program? Like, no, that would be stupid. Now, Miami and Arkansas are on two different levels.
No doubt.
Okay, one's a national championship contender.
Oh, Miami's in it, yeah.
One's a bad loss this weekend away from firing their head coach.
Right.
All right, so I do think we should stipulate that much.
But
the spirit of the argument is basically the same. Even if Arkansas isn't ranked, there was a world where they beat Ole Miss, they come in ranked, they have this unbelievable offensive attack, and you're supposed to lose. I mean, that's just the way it goes. It doesn't really change anything in terms of the dynamics for the college football playoff, again, because your league – is in amazing position to be whoever comes out of it is almost certainly going to be the highest ranked, you know, fifth conference.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, yeah. And to that point, though, you also don't want South Florida laying an egg against, say, North Texas on October 10th, losing that game, and then it deflates the ball a little bit for you, your conference too.
Well, I mean, look, I think. You really don't care at this point because you've gotten two wins. Florida, I know it's not the Florida that we all know and love, but it's Florida and the SEC, and it is the biggest competitor you have in Boise State in the Mountain, and I think they're still in the Mountain West this year. I think it's the last year, right?
Yeah, the last
so
one.
So that's the biggest competition that you have. Mm. Boise State last year played Oregon super tight, right? They could have beaten Boise Oregon last year.
Raised their stock basically in a loss.
They had a Heisman candidate and a guy that many people said should have won in Ashton Jensen last year, right?
Yep.
Times have changed. It ain't, you know, it's just Boise State finished the year last year. They were 12-1,
right?
And the only loss was to Oregon.
Yep.
You know, like it ain't that anymore. That's the picture that I'm trying to get people to understand.
You got it.
Is that this game doesn't matter.
Yep.
It doesn't matter. I know nobody wants to hear that. I'm not telling you. It doesn't matter either
still.
Way.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter win or lose.
That's right.
Like it would hurt if you had to, for example, win this game because Boise had beaten South Florida, and now we have to start making a case for this conference.
Right.
You know, and we have to start making a case. We have to make up ground because Boise would be in a scenario where, you know, hey, they got Notre Dame coming up.
Right.
They've got to win over South Florida on the road.
Yeah,
you start to need some help, and Notre Dame, by the way, ain't looking great.
No,
I mean they're gettable this year with that quarterback, right?
Yep.
So I'm not predicting Boise State wins, but I'm just saying this conversation would be framed in a very different way if in fact Boise had beaten South Florida. They were favored.
Yep.
They didn't win, so then we'd be saying, man, Boise State 4-0 going into this Notre Dame game. Notre Dame kind of stinks. Mm-hmm. If they win this game, it's like there's no question that they're getting into the playoff because they're going to be the highest ranked member of, you know, so, but that's not where we're at.
Right.
Boise State is unranked, and, you know, you play Tulane, which has already beaten Duke,
yep,
right? They got a shot at Ole Miss this weekend. So
that was wild.
The playoff
yeah,
spot
Duke's not great. Yeah.
Is coming from the American.
Yeah, it's coming. Tulane. So you got three teams in the mix.
Yeah, you got three teams. I mean, yeah, 100%. So whoever wins the conference
right.
out of Memphis, Tulane, and South Florida is going to the playoff.
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah.
That is the bottom line. Now, if you want to say maybe North Texas, maybe you could say North Texas in that mix. They beat the hell out of Washington State over the weekend.
Yeah, they did.
So
the
I think
the old Pac-12 is not looking great.
I think you probably have to say, you know, North Texas at 3-0 should be in this conversation.
Yeah. And that's a good team. Like, yeah. I don't want to take away from North Texas.
No, I mean, they definitely look better.
Yeah.
And I think that's another one that Memphis ducked this year.
Yeah.
Memphis also.
The schedule helps, yeah.
I mean, it's just crazy.
It is.
It's just crazy.
No, it's set up for Ryan.
Memphis ain't playing North Texas. They ain't playing UTSA. They ain't playing Army. And they're playing Tulane. And they're playing South Florida at home. So, point being, enjoy the game, whatever. But once it kicks off, man, it's like it's irrelevant, really. It's the result is almost irrelevant.
Yeah. I mean, no, I think that's fair.
Because you can win the game, as we just saw with I just gave you this Mississippi State example, right? Yeah. They beat Mississippi State. Holy hell. Can you believe it? Memphis knocks off an SEC giant, and they finish seventh in the American.
Right.
It
and
doesn't
Mississippi
matter.
And likewise, to your point.
How about last year?
Yeah.
How about last year?
Middle
Memphis
impact.
Knocks off ACC power, Florida State.
Right.
Remember, I mean, I know that they finished how they finished.
No, we were all pumped.
Let's remember how it felt at the time in the moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
What happened? They didn't win the American. They didn't make the conference championship game. So, and Florida State song. So, my point is that you got to let the season play out. I know that that's not sexy to say on a radio show that you come on every day and talk on. But it's just the truth. Like, Ryan Silverfield's charge is to do what he hasn't done before. He's beaten an SEC team before.
Yeah.
You know, he's beaten Power 5 teams before. That ain't what I'm worried about. What I'm worried about is, can you win the meaningful conference games? Because it doesn't make it more likely that you can do that just because you beat an SEC team, because we've seen it before. We have seen it happen before, and Silverfield has not won the league, let alone finished in the top five in the league before.
Yeah.
So, again, I know it's a different quarterback and a different time and all those different things, and I understand that. But the focus needs to remain doing what you need to do and haven't yet done in your league. And Arkansas, whatever happens this weekend, is not going to fix that.
Yeah, and I mean, you got to stop that offense. You got to see your defense play a real offense now. That'll be new. And it's also a rite of passage like you and Jeff talked about, because
it is.
This is the last, unfortunately, because of these down power conferences, they added another conference game. So this is kind of like the funeral for those schedules.
It is. There's no doubt about that. So enjoy it. Go out there and tailgate and soak it in. I'm not.
Yeah, I get you.
It should be a good feeling.
It'll be a good party.
That no matter what happens, we're either going to get complete blackout celebrating this win, or like we're just going to move on to next week, and it doesn't really matter. Like, nobody's going to say at the end of the year, "Oh well, Memphis didn't beat Arkansas." Like, nobody's going to say that. It's going to be, "Did you beat South Florida? Did you beat Tulane? Did you win? Did you handle all those games in your league that were, let's be honest, favorable to you because of them being here, because of who you didn't play?" Those kinds of things. And look, eventually, it'll all sort itself out. Like, Memphis may have to play North Texas in the American Championship game. I mean, it's, you know, that's very possible. They may ultimately not get a chance to duck them. They may have to see them. Either way, the important games are the ones that come after Saturday. You know, this is fun. This is a pageantry thing. This is like a chance to, you know, knock off the prom king, if you even see, I don't even see Arkansas as that. I see Arkansas as like a middling team. This ain't Tennessee coming in here. This ain't Georgia coming in here. This ain't even Ole Miss coming in here. This is just a team that's on the verge of firing their damn football coach that is looking for reasons to do it.
It's fair. And they could end up being this year's, I'm not saying they're as bad as Florida State was last year, but there's a scenario where Memphis beats them, Notre Dame beats them at home,
100%.
And this thing is, they're expediting his exit.
Like, it could look a lot like Florida State looked at the end of the year. Like, at the end of the season, it was like, man, that team sucked. I mean, they had one of the worst passing games. Now, again, that won't be what we say about Arkansas, because Taylen Green is a legitimate player. But we could say their defense was one of the worst defenses we've ever seen in the modern era.
That's fair.
Something along those lines. Anyway, nice little test this weekend. But it's really not even a test. Like, it's like a pop quiz, you know? And then, like, then the test comes later. People may disagree with that. I'm not trying to rain on the game. I'm really not. I'm really sort of saying that as, it's like insurance to me. It's like, it doesn't matter. Like, you're good. You're covered either way, because you still have to handle business at the end. Like, you still have to do the things that you haven't yet done, which is win the American.
I'm going to a game this weekend to see Northern Illinois play at Mississippi State, and I think this is also the end of an era, because that's not a team you should lose to, but it's a winnable game against a crap conference. I think these games are totally going to go away. In other words, you're going to see Mercer instead of MAC teams or Sun Belt teams like App State playing in these games against these power conferences, because that's what I told Stacy. I said, this is the last time they'll do this, because they could lose that game I'm going to go watch.
Yep.
And then, like, that ain't happening anymore. None of these games are going to happen anymore because these teams don't want to get beat.
Nope, they don't. They certainly don't. They don't want to pay teams come in there and beat them either. So.
No.
All right, we'll come back. Lots more to come here on the run. And we'll talk to Jonah Dillon about this from the CA at 125, get his thoughts on the game and sort of how Memphis can keep this one competitive and maybe even pull off a win. Stick around. Jason and John, I'm trying.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved, home protected, bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her United Healthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and United Healthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
FanDuel's getting you ready for the NFL season with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right, pick a bet, bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season's almost here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download the FanDuel app today and get started. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
FM ESPN. All right, we're back. Jason and John on Eternity FM ESPN. Getting through the day, right? As best we can. You know, life, man, it, you know, the older you get, I mean, I never thought I'd be 34 years old, you know, like I just be like,
you don't see yourself there, you know, like, when you're
like,
younger.
Yeah. Like it's just, you know, it's just amazing. Like, you know, you blink, you know, I'm like, oh, I can still remember being, you know, 17 years old, you know, and thinking like, oh man, I'll literally never be that old. Like, I can't even,
you don't even think about it.
Can't even comprehend it, man. And eventually, you know, you do turn 34 quicker than you ever imagined. And unfortunately, you know, part of that and part of getting older is you start to lose people. I mean, it's just and unfortunately, it's the way of the world. And, you know, unfortunately, our brother and our partner, Jason Smith, lost his father today, Les Smith, who was an institution in Memphis. And I'm really getting such a kick out of the things that people, you know,
it's amazing, the tributes and what's pouring out there.
You know, I mean, I think, like, I'm not in an Alexander Hamilton kind of way, you know, but like I think often about what will people say when I'm gone, you know, what type of, you know, because you never really, like, You never know. And look, people dress it up a little bit, right? Like when people go, like they always sort of tend to remember like the best parts of you.
Sure.
You know, they never say the, you know, man,
the
that guy was a real prick.
Yeah,
you know?
doesn't usually get out there.
A couple days a week, he was just real grumpy. You know, they never really say that. And you shouldn't say that, right? Like you can have that over a private conversation. But I will say, man, like there's just no doubt that the legacy that Les Smith left in his time in Memphis, not just at Fox at 13, worked at a lot of different places. But like, you know, it's just I was a babbling mess in the beginning of the show. I'm proud that I can say these parts and we can sort of begin to celebrate the man.
This is the good stuff. Yeah.
I'm just reading random. I don't always know who the people are, but there's a post on Facebook on Les's page from Jamie McGriff, and she said, without question, Les Smith was one of my favorites during my time in the 901. Les Smith worked at Fox 13. I worked at ABC Local 24. His wisdom, encouragement, and kindness, pure gold to me. I met him out in the field covering a story years ago. I was young, still trying to find my way in my journalistic style in the TV news business. He always gave me a hug and said, "You're doing a great job. Keep at it." It meant the world to me. I absolutely loved his writing and the way he told stories. Les was a master of his craft. His presence and work commanded utmost respect. Being around him, you could tell he paid his dues. He could stand eye to eye with and before the lowly and the highest of society without flinching. He shared perspectives in a manner that would leave you thinking about our humanity and how to become a better person, how to make communities better. I was sad when he retired and moved away from Memphis years ago. He left a massive journalistic void, and now he's really gone. I am so very sad to learn of his passing. It's a double heartbreak. What an incredible loss to all that knew and loved him. May God send comfort. R.I.P. Les.
Wow.
And I mean, again, like, you know, you can just sort of scroll and
yeah,
and
I'm going
see.
Through it here.
And I do think like that is all we can hope to do in this life. You know, like just to, I know it's like a heavy conversation and but you know, today's the day. You know, I
no,
mean,
it's
of,
today.
Of all days, today is the day. And I think just as a, you know, as a man and as a father myself, you know, I want to leave something behind, whether, you know, be the way that, you know, I might have made somebody feel or the way that, you know, what I might have done in times we've spent together, just something that they could be proud of, right? Just something that they can always sort of hearken back to and know.
Yes.
And I think that is the ultimate gift that Les Smith left for his sons, is that they know that their daddy was a hell of a man, and he left quite an impression on anybody that met him. And I think, you know, again, it's incredibly sad to lose somebody like that. Like it is. But I know that Jason is a man of faith.
Yes.
I know that he believes that there is more to this universe than just our life on Earth.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, while he's still here, you know, he gets that peace. I mean, I haven't lost a parent. I've lost lots of people close to me. I've never lost a parent, but I can only hope and imagine that it means something to read these words from people that were touched by Les Smith and that were helped maybe even at, you know, competing news outlets, right? I mean, I think that's comfort. I think that's what comfort looks like.
Well, first of all, this is why the internet, when it can be awesome, because all this stuff is open and you can read it. Like everything we posted on our social media, there's like streams of comments. And then on Jason's page, there's, I mean, literally thousands of comments because this guy, and for those of you who don't know, it's worth pointing out, I had several people go, "I didn't realize that Les was Jason's dad today." I don't know if you saw any of those.
Wow.
And I think that's a credit to both of them because Jason, one of the things I respect about Jason is Jason does still want to be his own person.
For sure.
And this is not a situation where it's earned. You know, Jason is a talent in and of himself, but it is impressive what Les accomplished before retiring in 14. And like Jeremy Pierre, who's at Fox 13, who's a really good reporter for them, does all their street reporting and stuff, writes a tribute. "The day I interviewed at Fox 13, Les Smith was on the back loading deck smoking a square, and he looked at me and said, 'I think you can handle Memphis, young man. He's the only person in TV I've ever met to complete three stories in 2 hours and be ready for the 5 o'clock news. If you remember Fox 13 news at 5 was the Les Smith show. His stories would lead and end the show. His retirement party was a real party. I remember him shouting me out with his remarks at one of his favorite spots, the Blue Monkey on Madison. I was gifted his iconic hat. He gave it to him, and he would often wear that cool hat that you've seen in the pictures. News folks at the station sometimes laughed at me for wearing the Les Smith hat, and I would say I'm stamped by the OG. So many stories in the short 5 months we worked together with Les, and times he would have just dropped info through Facebook to me. His last live shot turned into a story itself. It was at Foot Homes. If you know, you know. RIP Les Smith. Please keep his family in your prayers. And I'll say this, man. When I retire, if I ever get a chance to, with the way the economy is, which may not happen, I loved how his dad, how Les retired, because it was like he worked his ass off and then he hit 65 and he's like, and I know it was hard for Jason, and you've heard him talk about it on the show. I don't think I'm speaking saying this, am I?
Yeah.
You know, you can tell it was good and he supported his dad going to Belize.
Mm-hmm.
You could tell it on mm-hmm. this show. We talked about it all the time, but it's hard because your dad is leaving the country to do what he wants to do in his retirement with his wife at the time, who passed away recently, by the way. And, you know, Jason handled that with a lot of grace, I thought. And, you know, when I retire, I want to do something like that, and I hope my kid won't judge me for it. Like, this guy, I think bars went out of business in Midtown when Les Smith left the country.
Yeah,
like.
No.
Like, this dude knew how to go party, bro. And so I respect that side of him, too, and yeah. the whole person. I don't know what I'm trying to say there, except that obviously he meant a lot to the partiers in Midtown. He meant a lot to the news people he worked with, including Jeremy Pierre. He meant a lot to us. He's come on this show. I mean,
he's...
Bets from Belize was one of the first bits y'all did.
It was.
So that, you know, rest in peace to Les. Today is hard. And I know it's not the ending we were looking at, especially he got through the procedure yesterday. And Jason, I know, was so excited because he got through that procedure. But I thought it was interesting because he came back to the States and they got him off the airplane, got him to the house. They spent last weekend, not this past weekend, but the weekend prior, watching football together. And then it was time. And so, you know, a full life here, no less.
Absolutely. And I'm just kind of like going through some posts that I've got with Les Smith. And I think it's important. You know, for Jason this time to hear, he's kind of listening in and out.
Yeah.
So I hope that this will make it back to him today at some point. But when we got this show in September of 2016, you know, that is the beauty of the internet sometimes, is that this stuff is maybe not for everybody, will they celebrate that their digital footprint is out there forever.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's a really sweet thing. And on September 22nd, 2016, that's the day that the show was announced with me and Jason. And Les Smith posted this. He said, "I've had to keep my mouth shut about the wonderful opportunity my son Jason Smith has now accepted as a new radio sports talk show host. It is mind-blowing, historic, and yet so well-deserved. This is my son, y'all, taking another step as a pioneering journalist of color in Memphis. Please support him in this new and wonderful endeavor." And we have now been on the show. It will be damn near 9 years to this day. We've been doing the show together for the last 9 years, and people have supported Jason and I. I am not a journalist of color, obviously, but you know, I hope that Jason, and I think he does, but I hope he feels and understands and knows just how damn proud that man was of him.
No doubt.
I mean,
no doubt.
I think that
was his world. I mean, his kids, his boys. But you know.
And let's be honest. I mean, Jason was introduced to this world because of Les Smith.
That's right.
He went his own way. There's no doubt.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But
created,
I mean,
his own path.
His dad was in the business. His dad lived the business, and so Jason saw that, you know, up close and personal. And I mean, that's we do what our parents do for the most part.
Yeah.
And obviously, just heavily influenced. And again, just, so damn proud, Les Smith was of Jason and his grandkids and mm-hmm. I mean, everybody,
Chris, yeah,
you know, I hope that that's the lasting memory. You know, knowing that you made, especially like a high achieving individual, right? Les Smith, you know, like he did it all. The man was in front of the damn door.
Yeah.
When Calipari left, all right? He was staking out the damn door. But especially knowing that you made a high-achieving individual proud.
Yeah.
In the same field. I mean, it's just it's a really, really powerful thing. And I hope that Jason is proud that he has done that. And so again, I want to take some moments throughout this show to continue to celebrate Les Smith on this day, because his fingerprints are obviously all over this show. We would have loved to have him more than we did. You know, we, in terms of like the best, we wanted the best. Believe there were some contractual disputes. You know, sometimes those happen. Not personal. We didn't hold that personally against him. But you know, he was just so damn supportive of this show and of his son and of me. Like, it wasn't just, oh, my son's doing radio, like, let me just support my, like,
yeah.
The man was encouraging and supportive of me. And that meant a lot, that I, you know, to know that I had his stamp and I had his blessing, you know. And it's been an honor and a privilege to work with his son every day, you know, for the last 9 years. And I hope we do another 9 more. I want, you know, Jason to know that we're continuing to think about him. We're praying for him and his family. And we're gonna celebrate Les Smith. I mean, that's what we're gonna do today.
Yeah, no doubt.
So anyway, I did want to pass that along. We do every day around this time do something that we call the rundown. Let's get to it. Yeah, I mean, we got a lot of quarterback injuries in the NFL this week. The Jets have ruled out Justin Fields with a concussion, so we're not going to get Justin Fields against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Jaden Daniels is not practicing today for the Commanders, so it seems as though we're not going to get Jaden Daniels against the Raiders. I guess as a Raider fan, that's as good as I can hope, because we're going to have to win some games here, and that's our best chance against Mariota, so you're not going to have him. Burrow, we know, is on IR. I feel like I'm missing some guys, but those are the those are the major ones. J.J. McCarthy is out, so it'll be Carson Wentz in Minnesota. Baker Mayfield banged up. I think he is going to play, but he is banged up. So, I mean, this is kind of like...
It's that time now. Here we go.
I was just going to say, like, it's kind of like the worst nightmare for the NFL, because as much as we do watch the NFL, and we do,
yeah,
but, like, I don't know if we're going to watch a bunch of backups for 17 weeks. Like, I mean, I think at that point, you know, I don't know what else we'll watch, but... You know, it definitely loses juice when you start talking about quarterback injuries. Have been years like this before, but it's never a good thing.
And these teams are hooked. Like, Minnesota was already up against it with their quarterback and Aaron Jones now. So it's like, what the hell do you do on offense? You know?
I mean, yeah. You mean, look, Jake Browning came in last week as a backup.
Yeah.
This would be the argument. And he won the game.
That's fair.
Against the Jags. So, I mean, it just depends. It depends on how solid your team is around the quarterback on the backup. I mean, I will say, if you're a backup quarterback in the NFL, like, you should be able to throw the football down the field 15
you would
yards.
Think.
But I do know that, you know, some backups are certainly better than others.
Yeah,
there's no doubt about that. But yeah, man, it's gonna be a tough sledding for some of these teams. Like, I do think Cincinnati, if I was gonna sort of just evaluate, because Burrow seems like the longest term here. Mm. I do think, like, they have to believe, hey, We gave Ja'Marr Chase $1 billion. We gave T. Higgins $1 billion. Like, we have, you know, I know our offensive line got Joe Burrow killed, but if you just ignore that, we have a pretty good offense. Like, they should, you know, they should feel decently enough that they can survive. Mm. Now, what does survival mean? Does it mean make the wild card? Probably not. I mean, I think it probably means 7 to 8 wins. Is you know, five to six wins with Browning as your quarterback from here.
That'd be fine. Ish.
It'd be fine in a vacuum, but, you know, you
as
also,
good as you could hope for, I
you,
mean.
You also have to sort of start thinking about, man, like, Joe Burrow's been in the league for, you know, 5 years now.
Fragile as hell.
He's getting hurt constantly. The team went to a Super Bowl one time, and he'll be 29 next year.
Right.
You know? He'll be 29, excuse me, this year. He'll be 30 next year. Now, you know, quarterbacks can play.
Right.
They can play for a long time. But Joe Burrow's about to be 30, man. Like,
that went fast.
Your window does not last forever. So I think if you're Cincinnati, you know, obviously, you know, you made some critical mistakes along the way. I think you look at the way they did it, and it's kind of like a cautionary tale, you know. You invested in sort of the wrong parts of the team. And it honestly, and I'm not, you know, but it's just the truth. The Chiefs let Tyreek Hill go.
Right.
Like they said, we can't pay. We got to pay Mahomes, and we got to pay our offensive line, and we got to pay Chris Jones, and we got to pay our, you know, and what happened? Like the Chiefs won Super Bowls. They mm-hmm. won back-to-back Super Bowls, and Joe Burrow has not been back since. And I know Jamar's his guy, and I know that T. Higgins is his guy, but like, dude, they're your guys, and you're on IR because your left tackle is an absolute turnstile because right. because you didn't pay. Now, injuries happen. They could have paid the offensive line and he doesn't get hurt. I mean, it was kind of a freaky play in and of itself. But, you know, I think if you're a team that has a rookie quarterback, if you're the Commanders.
Right.
Right. And someday in the next couple of years, you're going to have to pay that quarterback. It can't be the receiver.
I think that's fair.
I mean, it just can't be the receiver. I mean, it could be maybe one receiver if he's like Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase.
Right.
That level.
Yeah.
Even if it's Nico Collins, though, I might be like, you know, I mean, if you can get a deal, go get a deal.
Yeah.
Like that's what the Chiefs told Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
Miami paid Tyreek Hill a ton of money. And guess what? What have the Dolphins done?
Jack?
Nothing.
They've Jack.
Done absolutely nothing.
Well, I think that's why these skill position guys, like Scat, all these guys are getting drafted or playing. You're requiring your rookies and your sophomores, they need to be your skill position dudes if you got a star quarterback. Like, you discovered a star quarterback. Congratulations.
Yes.
Now you're going to have to pay that dude.
No, the hard part is not – the hard part, it's funny. It's not even finding the quarterback, right? Like, that's kind of easy.
Yeah.
The hard part is navigating post-rookie
around,
quarterback
yeah.
contract, you know,
stuff
life.
Around this thing.
You know, because there's going to be a certain critical mass where, okay, this quarterback has to get paid.
Yeah.
This like we, you know, we know we have our answer. You know, we're going to have to give him the quarterback contract. All right, but damn.
Unless you're the Bears.
We got this, right, you're probably, they may not reach that. We shall see. But then you have this, man, I got this defensive end that's an absolute, like Trey Hendrickson. I got this sack leader. You know, what am I going to do with this sack leader? What am I going to do with this, you know, middle linebacker who's just unbelievable? What am I going to do with this safety? What am I going to do with this?
Edge rusher. You
know, I mean, it's like, so, and I think the Bengals, they went all in on offense. They said, we're going to put all of our money in specifically the skill position, in quarterback and wide receiver, and we're going to just kind of believe that that's the best way forward for us, and we're going to patch the rest together, and we're going to see where it works. Well, here you go. You kind of have your answer. Like, you could say the Bengals should have won the AFC Championship game 2 years ago if not for that stupid penalty. Like, whatever. I mean, we could do that with a lot of teams. But what we would – I think what we would objectively say is that the Joe Burrow era in Cincinnati has ultimately been a disappointment.
That's fair.
Relative to what we thought it would be after that Super Bowl year, it has been a big letdown. And I just think they managed their money poorly. Now, maybe they didn't spend. Maybe they didn't. I'm sure we could sort of do the autopsy on this, and we could, you know, get into all of it as to why it didn't work. But it hasn't worked. And I think it's a cautionary tale. You know, you really have to spread that money out because there's just too many positions on the field that are important.
Yep.
I mean, I would say in many ways, and again, like T. Higgins. Dude, T. Higgins is a replaceable wideout.
That's fair.
All right? Like, I think he's a good player.
Yep.
I like him, but I think he's completely replaceable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was like, I don't even remember the dude. Tinsley caught the ridiculous touchdown for them against the Jags. Now, I think Higgins scored as well. But
sure.
Point is, dude, receivers can find the end zone, right? Like, you can find, like, the rookie for the Titans.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to say his last name. Illuminor or something. Illuminor. Like, he caught a touchdown against the Rams over the weekend. You know, like, you can find guys that can get separation and things like that. What did T. Higgins get for his contract? I'm assuming it was a pretty big deal.
Well, the thing of it is,
4 years, 115,
yeah,
man.
Like, the thing, like, that, like, look at Pittsburgh, though. Like, that's why I'm not concerned about Calvin Austin's future in terms of his wallet, because, like, somebody's going to pay that dude. Like, you can find guys. Like,
well, I don't know. I don't know if Calvin Austin will get like paid, but I mean,
I mean, what I'm saying is the Steelers didn't over. They're clearly not. They're not paying him anything right now.
He's on his rookie deal.
Yeah, so like he's on a rookie deal. My point is the point you're making. You know, you don't have to pay a bunch of guys, you know, top dollar if You do need to pay your offensive line a little bit, though, if you're going to start have a star quarterback back there that's going to get broken every time that they walk.
Well, I mean, you cannot be in a situation where you have the highest paid receiver in the history of the league
and the lowest paid line.
And then, by the way, hold on, not done. The highest paid number two receiver in the history of the league, and then a makeshift crappy offensive line
and a high paid quarterback.
Ultimately, this was the whole debate. When the Bengals drafted Ja'Marr Chase because they passed on Penei Sewell.
Okay.
Right? I mean, that was the whole thing.
I forgot about that.
It's like, hey, great quarterback, great receiver, but how does the quarterback get the ball to the receiver?
Right.
He's got to be protected in the pocket.
Yeah.
You know, Justin Herbert,
man.
You know, I mean, he has pretty good protection. Now, he's missing a big-time part of that, but they drafted Joe Alt.
Yep.
You know, last year in the NFL draft, and they invested.
A giant.
Because – dude, I mean, you have to protect the quarterback.
Yeah.
You just have to. And if you don't, I mean, think about it, man. Who did the Chiefs draft in the first round of this NFL draft? You don't even have to look. I'll tell you. Josh Simmons, left tackle, Ohio State. Okay?
Well, there you know.
What position did he play?
He's an offensive lineman.
Offensive lineman. Chargers drafted Joe Alt.
Lineman.
This past year. Look at the Eagles' offensive line. They've invested so much money over the years. It's one of the best, you know, between Dickerson and all the guys they have, like, they've invested so much money in that offensive line. Like, all the great teams, like the Ravens.
Yep.
The Ravens have invested a ton of money into that offensive line.
These dudes are paying real money now. They're getting paid big bucks.
I mean, I guarantee you that.
Cowboys are up there, too, I think.
If you just looked up, you know, the highest paid offensive lines, you know, in the NFL and the highest paid linemen, there would be a correlation between quality of team and that fact, right?
Yeah.
I mean, let's look.
What you're paying those dudes?
Let's look at the top 10 guys here. Rashawn Slater for the Chargers, who's hurt, but he's got the biggest deal in the NFL. An unfortunate timing, but you know you had to do that.
Yep.
Tristan Wirfs for the Bucks, again hurt, but you had to do that.
Yeah. Well, and that's the other thing. They're probably going to get nicked up, and you still have to pay him.
Penei Sewell for the Lions. We know how important he is to that team. Trent Williams for the 49ers, arguably when the splits when he's on and off, almost, you know, as Jeff would say, unquantifiable. Christian Darrisaw for the Vikings, again hurt. All these guys are hurt, by the way. I mean, but when they're in, they're
you still have
good.
To pay him though.
But I mean, you see how I haven't gotten to a bad team?
No,
yet?
Right.
See what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Chargers 2-0, Bucks 2-0, Lions were the one seed last year. 49ers 2-0, Vikings, if they have a real quarterback, would be 2-0. Eagles 2-0. Commanders, Jaden Daniels, NFC Championship game last year. Colts, 2-0. Chiefs, 0-2. They're going to probably be in the Super Bowl, right? I haven't mentioned a bad team yet.
Right.
How far do I have to go, by the way, do you think, for me to get to a Bengal?
Waif. I mean,
I've gone.
Going to be a while.
I've literally pressed down arrow 50 times, and I don't see a Bengal.
I mean, they just made a bad decision. They made a bad decision strategically with that lineup.
Yes. I mean, this seems simple.
Yeah.
You know, it really does. And it is.
Yeah.
It is.
It actually is.
You pay your offensive line.
Yeah.
Because how about this? Here's another example. It's a non-quarterback. It's a non-quarterback example. Yeah. But it matters. Ashton Jeanty, yeah. Raiders spent a number 6 pick on him. Oh, he's generational. Oh, he's Adrian Peterson. Oh, he's all these different things. He gets to the league.
Yeah.
He plays behind a crappy offensive line, and this dude might as well be Trent Richardson.
Right.
He's averaging – I believe he's being contacted 0.1 yard, okay? He gets the handoff, and he's contacted 0.1 yard after the carry because his offensive line sucks.
And blow.
So what's the point of having an elite running back if your offensive line sucks? What's the point of having an elite quarterback and an elite receiving core if your offensive line sucks? It's no point. There's no point. It's a waste of everybody's time. So if you're in a situation where you're an organization, I should run an NFL team.
You might be a GM soon.
And all I would do is say, hey, let's spend money on the offensive line. Very simple.
That's it.
Like most of our cap, actually.
Right.
I would say, all right,
yeah.
I have a chance to pay T. Higgins $114 million, or I could pay, Christian Darrisaw $104 million.
Yeah.
I'm going to pay Darrisaw. Because guess what? Darrisaw is going to help me take slapdick over here, 'cause I don't know if I can say that.
That's right.
But a rookie, right. A rookie wide receiver from Utah State who nobody knows.
Right.
I'm going to turn him into a star.
He's a stud now.
Because I'm in the pocket. I'm eating a sandwich. I'm taking a nap. I'm heating up milk in the microwave.
Right.
It doesn't matter. I have Joe Burrow, and I have time. That means I'm going to find guys.
Yep.
I'm going to be elite.
Yep.
Because if Joe Burrow has time, we know he's probably the best in the league.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably the best quarterback in the NFL when he has time. But when Joe Burrow doesn't have time, Joe Burrow gets sacked, and then Joe Burrow gets hurt. It's like a kid's book.
I mean,
as I'm writing a children's book.
I do think it might be that simple.
It is that simple.
I think it might be that simple.
If you can't protect the quarterback, there's just no point in paying anybody.
Yeah. I mean,
there's no point in paying the quarterback. There's no point in paying the receivers. There's no point in paying there's no point. I mean, you should just tank at that point, and just it should be Jake Browning the whole time, you know, until you fix. Now, I mean, I'll also say it's not the easiest thing in the world to identify dominant tackles. It's not. But my God, dude, you look around. Just go to Iowa practice. I'm sure there's a 6'5", 340-pound dude on the left side that you can just draft. And odds are he'll be pretty good, you know?
Well, and I think this is why, you know, the draft is you don't see a lot of sexy picks in some of these first rounds, you know, because it really should be that way. Like three-quarters of the first round should be the offensive line.
Oh, how about this? I mean, here's another example. We're talking about Joe Burrow all the time.
Yeah.
How bad was C.J. Stroud on Thursday night or on Monday
night?
Brutal.
Brutal.
Guy has no time to throw.
Yeah.
He's constantly, I mean, the run game was non-existent.
It's like he sucks all of a sudden.
They lose the game.
Yeah.
He looked like when they had my guy from Ole Miss who did the weed thing. I can't remember his name.
Oh, yeah.
Tunzel.
When they had Tunzel,
who is now, I believe, a commander.
Yeah.
When they had Laramie Tunzel in Houston 2 years ago, what happened? Does anybody remember what happened with
they were like setting records, weren't they?
C.J. Stroud had the most passing yards for a rookie quarterback in the history of the league.
Yep.
But he had Laramie Tunzel on his left side. And then guess what? Laramie Tunzel doesn't play for the Texans anymore because they didn't want to what?
Pay him!
They didn't want to pay him. And so he goes to the Commanders. What happened to the Commanders last year?
They got awesome. They had a quarterback who was awesome. Yeah. And that, you know, suddenly.
I mean, how'd that happen?
A rookie quarterback.
Yeah, and actually, that he wasn't there last year for that. But the point is that when you take guys away who are starting, you know, who are big time offensive linemen, and you compare them to when they were there, you know, the odds are.
Yep.
I mean, they traded Tunzel away because they didn't want to pay him, you know, and it's been a disaster. Now maybe Tunzel wasn't as good as he was in 2024 as he was 2 years ago, but. You can't convince me that wasn't a huge part of it. You cannot convince me that Tunzel in 2023 being there was not a huge part of C.J. Stroud's success, period, point blank. So, anyway, that's a long way of saying that if I ran an NFL team, you know, obviously, yes, I can't have Carson Wentz. I mean, I can have the best offensive line in the world, but if I got Carson Wentz back there, it ain't going to really matter either. But if I got a Joe Burrow, before I even think about skill position, because you know what? From the way that I view football, left tackle is a skill position, dog.
Yep.
And the skill is
block,
keeping the quarterback alive,
right?
Giving him time. Because if you believe you have an elevator at QB, like Justin Herbert turning Quentin Johnson to somebody, Quentin Johnson's just a guy,
right?
You know, his receivers aren't great. Like he don't have no Jamar Chase. He don't need a Jamar Chase, man. That's the point. You don't have to have Jamar Chase when you have time, because you can create guys. You can make guys. Guess what? All NFL receivers, they can do two things. Are you ready for this? It's very important. They can all do this.
Run and catch the football.
They can all do that. All of them.
Run,
all
catch.
Of them. Now some are faster than others.
Right.
And some maybe have better hands than others. But fundamentally, every single guy that has ever been drafted as a wide receiver can do those two things. And so if I have a truly generational quarterback who I believe can elevate, right, if he's got 4 seconds back there, 3 to 4 seconds back there, as opposed to 1 second back there, then he will turn that guy on the same level. Like, period, point blank. We see a guy named Tom Brady. He's doing that all the time. So, lots of quarterback injuries this week. You know, it's not going to be great in terms of, you know, the invalids, but hopefully it's just a one-off this week, and we can get back to business with these guys, especially, you know, Jaden Daniels, et cetera, after this week. All right, we'll come back. Lots more to come here on the show. Jonah Dillon's going to join us at 125. We'll talk to him about the significance of this Memphis football game, how he sees the American, all that and more. Stick around. Jason and John on Turner FM, ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from UnitedHealthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at unitedhealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
FanDuel's getting you ready for the NFL season with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right, pick a bet, bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season's almost here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download the FanDuel app today and get started.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.